Let me in pray. Carry not my Lord was crucified.
Sing 156. And this is the one, there's a name I love to hear, and there's two versions of it, of the chorus. But tonight we'll sing the version of the chorus of Why I Love the Savior's Name. So well, there is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth.
Savior's name, the sweetest name on earth.
this name shall shed its fragrance still along this thorny road, shall sweetly smooth the rugged hill that leads me up to God. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. Oh, how I love the Savior's name, the sweetest name on earth. And there with all the blood bought them from sin and sorrow free, I'll sing the new eternal song of Jesus' love to me. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. Oh, how I love the Savior's name, the sweetest name.
Samuel.
Greet everyone tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I trust that the Lord will bless you tonight. No, we're not many of us here tonight, but it doesn't matter how many of us is here or not. The Lord's here, isn't he? Because where we've already prayed tonight, where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. But you know, when you gather in his name, there's a blessing. And every time you open the word of God, there's a blessing. Let's just bow our heads a moment tonight before we turn to God's word. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks tonight, Lord, for your precious blood. Lord, we lift up your holy name and we say, holy and reverent is your name. Lord, we say, wonderful, great counselor, Prince of Peace. Lord, you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. We just plead your precious blood out over this whole service right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll help, Lord, and encourage tonight, Lord. Lord, let me say something tonight that may help your people and encourage them. And give us strength, Lord, to face each and every day, Lord. Help us, Lord, like your word says, when we put the hand to the plow, not to turn back. But help us, Lord, to keep pressing on in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your name will be exalted tonight and uplifted. And that your people will be encouraged. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that every word of mine will be mean. Nah, Lord, every word of mine means nothing. But Lord, I pray every word of yours will be highlighted in our minds and uplifted in our thoughts in the days that lie ahead. Now, Lord, I pray that you will take over this service in Jesus' precious name. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Tonight, I want to try and talk a bit about prayer. I thought maybe it was a good one with Tommy. Tommy sort of talked a bit about it this morning, about prayer, so tonight I want to try and talk a bit about prayer and praying. And I want to just read a whole load of scriptures here wrote down. And we'll just see how the Lord leads. But you know, each one of these scriptures I believe is an encouragement. Because there's one thing that you can't do enough of, and that's praying, isn't it? Do you know, no matter what the situation is, it's amazing how that when you can pray, how that you feel different. How that God can change the circumstances. You know, like a prophet of God, didn't he say about how that a man prayed and God caused a sundial to go backwards and stopped everything for a while for a prayer, didn't he? You know, and when Elijah prayed, when they went all them sacrifices, but God sent fire down, burnt it all up. So when you pray and use the name of Jesus, you've got a weapon. You've got the keys to the kingdom because we can use that name tonight. And when we use that name by faith in that name, we've got power. But tonight I want to just read here Psalms 102, verses 1 and verses 2. Psalms 102 in verses 1 and verses 2. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am troubled. Incline thy ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. Amen. You may take your seats tonight. You know, here is a man. The psalmist David knew how to pray, didn't he? But you know one thing about the psalmist David that I love too? He knew how to repent, didn't he? He knew when he made a mistake that he could go back and he could bow down and he could ask for forgiveness. But the devil wants to tell you that if you've made a mistake, you're finished. The message of Satan is, you're doomed, you're finished, you're bait. But the message of the kingdom of God is, says, come unto me, all ye that labour, all ye that are heavy laden. And he said, take unto me, take unto you my yoke, for it is easy and my burden is light. You know, but the devil wants to put a burden upon you tonight that you can't pray. Because you know what happens when God's people starts to pray. It says, do you know, it's like a sweet smelling savour before him. Do you know in the old high priests and the old sacrifice, how that they lit the different fragrance and the different things and it went up before the Lord, and when they burnt sacrifice, it said it was like a sweet smelling savour. But our prayers, all your prayers goes up before him. And when we come to him in the name that he has given us. Now if you come to him in any other name, you have no authority. We know that the Church of Rome teaches people to come through the name of Mary, or to come by the way of the rosary bead, or by some ritual. But you know, that doesn't work. That doesn't have no standing. But God provided a one and only sacrifice, and his name is Jesus. And when we come in that name, there's power in that name. I've wrote down here how we should pray. How we should pray. And if we turn in our Bibles here to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, as I say, I've wrote down a lot of verses. But you know, you can take them and read them. Maybe it's not a good thing to write down too many verses sometimes in scriptures, you know, but I want to just try and share these scriptures with you. I believe they're in keeping with what I'm trying to say. Mark chapter 11 and verses 22, and we'll maybe try and read down to verses 26. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Why is that wonderful? We have got our Creator God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's saying to us, whatever ye ask in faith, he will do it. But the devil wants to say, oh no, that doesn't happen anymore. You know, I think it maybe was my dad said to the teacher, and the teacher said, no, that wasn't really a literal mountain. But you know, it is, you know what, maybe it is a literal mountain. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It could be a mountain of circumstances. But you know, if you had enough faith, you could ask for God to do anything. It doesn't matter what it is. And we know that God in the 20th century sent a prophet of God and showed us these things. Didn't God say to them, speak there now and that's them squirrels is going to appear. Now that's just a silly thing. It's just a natural thing, but God was showing him the ability that we could have, the authority that we should have. If we have faith in God, if we ask in faith, nothing's impossible. All things are possible, only believe. Wasn't that the theme of the campaigns of the healing? Like Tommy said, it's great to listen to them healing lines. When you hear them healing lines and people come up in them healing lines and God speaks to them and tells them all about themselves and the circumstances changed, well, it's still the same God today. It's not the man that does it, but it was God that done it. And if we have faith, Jesus says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Don't doubt. The devil wants you to create a whole reason why. You know, the devil wants you to treat it like a lecture or treat it like something that you have to study. Like I said before, you know, some people think to be born again. They maybe think that they have to read a load of different books and they maybe have to go to the library and they have to study it all out like doing some degree. But that's not the way it works. You can be born again like that. You can pass from death on to life in a blink of an eye. All you have to do is ask the Lord into your heart and you'll be saved. And you know, it's just as easy as that. But you know, man's thinking is, I need to study this all out. It's like the old saying, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. But in this case, it's not. When something sounds too good to be true, it's not the saying. It probably is. But in this case, it's not. The gospel is free, but man has put a price on it. We know that how all the different organizations over the years, when man got in, and then the greed of man gets in, and then they turn it into something that it's not. Because men want to line their pockets, or men want to make something out of it, or men want to have power over other men. But that's not what the gospel's about. When you pray, God gives you power and authority yourself. You don't need a man to do it for you. But God has given you the ability because he has sent one into the world for you. He says, verses 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And it says, And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But it says, but if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So when we pray, we can't pray with a judgmental heart. Do you know people, oh, look at what he's done. That's him finished. It's not people's attitude. If somebody makes a mistake, oh boy, did you see what he done? Did you see what they done? And do you ever hear, oh, hey, that boy was good living too. People love that one. Do you know, I remember one time, a boy said to Rock, you're good living, aren't you? And Rock says to him, would you call it being good living? I have to come here every morning at 6 o'clock and I'm working here at 5 or 6 in the evening. How's that a good living, he says. There's nothing good about it. But he said, yes, I'm born again, but I'm not good living. That's the old saying of the world, oh, he was good living. And did you hear about that boy? He was good living and he done this and he done that. But you know, there's a man in the Bible said that Jesus asked him more or less, and what of this man? And Jesus says, if I will that he tarried, I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. When it comes to standing at the day of judgment, God's not going to say to you, what did your neighbour Joe Blogs or this one or that one do? He's going to say, what did you do with Christ? The question is, what will you do? Not what did your neighbour do or what did somebody else do. I've heard boys saying, oh, I would be a Christian, but I knew a boy and he was a Christian and he done this and he done that. Like that wouldn't be right. Well, what is that to you? If somebody walked out in front of a car and got knocked down, would you say, sure, because he done that, I'll not cross the road again or I'll not drive again? You wouldn't take that attitude, would you? So it's the same thing. But people want to jump to conclusions. And Jesus has told us here how we should pray. We should pray believing. But you might say, well, I did that before and it didn't work out. Well, don't give up. Do it again. Keep on praying. Keep on keeping on. Don't say because that didn't work out that time. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Hold fast. Hold firm. Hold steady. Don't give in. Do you know when they throw the anchor off the boat, it has to grip the bottom of the ocean. And when it grips the bottom, it holds the ship. And when that ship's in a storm, That anchor actually makes the ship sit the right shape in a storm, because if a ship gets sideways in the storm, it can capsize. And the devil wants to get you sideways. He wants to get you upside down. He wants to get you any road. But if you face him dead on, you've got the patience of him. You've got the ability to overcome. Because when Jesus called his disciples, what did it say he done? It says he gave them power and authority. Do you realize that when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you've got power and authority in you? Because you've got the keys to unlock the power supply. You've been given a source, a power source that you can go to anytime, everywhere and anywhere. How should we pray? Then if we look in Matthew, turn back in our Bibles here to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 down to verses 15. Then Jesus teaches us how to pray. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see a very important thing in this. There's a theme in the Bible that says we must forgive, that we are forgiven. When God transforms your life, he makes it easier for you to forgive. He can soften the hardened heart. The time when a man might have said, I cannot forgive. I cannot give in. I will not back down. He might have that attitude. And it's good in a lot of things maybe to have the attitude. We are not going to back down when it comes to working with the enemy. Don't compromise. Don't back down. But when it comes to the things of God, sometimes you have to forgive. If you're praying for something but you're holding a grudge in your heart, Jesus says we must forgive, that our Father in heaven will forgive us. But if you don't forgive, you have got something in you. There's something in you that you need to get rid of. It says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So you see, if we come to God, we must come to him believing. But we must be willing to forgive. You know, and there's no point, like some people will want to say something nice to your face, but go away and say something totally different. Don't do that. You're better just to say what you're thinking. Sometimes people won't like it. But if you're thinking it and it's true, speak it. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. You know, there's one thing about telling the truth. You can tell it the same way every time. It never changes. But when you set out on a road of compromise, where does it end? Because there's a saying, it takes a boy with a good memory to be a liar, because someday he'll make a mistake. He'll forget the lies. But if you tell the truth, it never changes. And when we come to God, we must come to him believing. Also, if we turn in our Bibles here to Jude chapter... Well, there is only one bit of Jude anyway, but it's Jude verses 20 and 21. Verses 20 and 21. Yeah, verses 20 and 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We see here a very important key. You know, today people say there is no such thing as the Holy Ghost. We've got people who don't want to believe in the power of God. You know, I remember talking to Le Mans, and he said to me, there's none of these things happen anymore. That was only for the disciples. There's no more of that anymore. It's all was done away with. But you know, there's a wee verse in the Bible, Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's the same all the time. So if he healed him on one time, he'll heal him on again. But it says here, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What is the love of God? Well, the Word of God says that God so loved the world. Now, can you imagine how stinking the world may have seemed in God's sight, really? Because God sent his only begotten Son. And look at the type of a man Jesus was. It says he went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed. That seems like a kind of a man you want to know. But people were jealous. Don't be surprised. If God starts to use you, that the devil won't try to use somebody to get you stopped. Don't be surprised if someone that you would expect to say, well done, brother, keep pressing on, will say the complete opposite. I wouldn't do that. I would do it this way and I would do it that way. I know a man one time and he said to me, he's talking about preaching on the street, and he said to me about my dad had spoke on the street years ago, and he says, I know, I don't know, that beard, I don't think that was a good thing for speaking on the street and all. It was a whole rigmarole about how would this or that. No, you need to watch this and you need to watch that. Like a boy said one time, if a man come into the back of the room and he said to you, I have £1 million for you, would you care what he was wearing? I wouldn't. If he says, I have £1 million and I'm giving it to you. But there's another man and he says to me, I want to hear your man's testimony. And I says, well, he says it was good, like, but he says, like, he wasn't wearing a suit or nothing. And he wasn't wearing a tie and he wasn't doing this and he wasn't doing that. And I says, well, what all did the man say? But what he said was brilliant. He said about how God delivered him, how God set him free. But all that the man was worried about was he wasn't presented right. God's not worried how you come to present yourself. God's worried about what's on the inside. He doesn't look at one on the outside. Man looks on the outside appearance, but God sees the heart. And if your heart's right before God, and you're willing to forgive, then God's willing to answer you. What we see here, Jude says, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference. Have compassion. That's a thing today that's a bit lacking sometimes, isn't it? Instead of somebody seeing somebody down and saying, I wonder if there's any way I could help them, people take great delight. Oh, look at how that worked out. I knew that wouldn't work out right. Or I knew this, or I knew that. That's not how God works. God doesn't see you down and say, oh, look at that. He's willing to help you. He's willing to lift you up out of the dunghill. He's willing, he's got a hand held out. Take one step to him and he'll pull you up out of it. Like the man preached the message with them eagles. When it come to that time in that eagle's life, he quit flying. He had all the ability. He had all that he needed to still hunt and fly and survive and soar in the heavens. But for some reason, he went down into the owl moping forest. And he got his owl head down. And he started to think, oh, I haven't done this right, or I haven't done that right, or such and a one done this to me, and somebody, I don't think I'll go back, or I'll not do this, or I'll not do that. But thanks be to God, there was other eagles who had come through the moping period. And they flew over and dropped in a wee bit of fresh meat. But you know what? The eagle had to make the decision himself. The other eagles couldn't come down and lift him and carry him up and pull him up back on his rock again. That wouldn't work. but he had a reach for the bit of meat. God has everything right there for you. Reach for it. Take it. Grasp it. And it will strengthen you and put you on your feet again. But you know, when that out, when them other eagles started to eat the wee bit of meat, what happened? They suddenly realized, what am I doing in this place? I don't belong here. So he climbed out of the place, and his beak was all calloused over. You know, the old Indian tracker took your man up to show him this. He took him up and he said, watch this here. And he looked down in, and them owl eagles was there, and every day these other eagles flew over, and they knew to pull the bones out of the meat, and they just dropped in nice wee bits of meat, because you know, he'd been so long listening to God can't do. He couldn't eat a bit of meat hardly anymore. He was disarmed. He was discouraged. But you know, when he started to eat a wee bit of meat, a bit of strength came into him. When you start to speak a bit of positivity, you will see the atmosphere changing. Instead of saying, oh, I'm defeated, I'm beat, I'm cast down. No, lift your head up, put your shoulders back and say, I'm an overcomer. I'm going to make it. Amen. I'm willing and able. And God will help you up out. And what? That eagle, he got himself, he got a bit of meat in him. The next thing is a bit of strength come into him. And he looked up and he seen that rock. And he knew, I don't belong in this place. I belong on that rock. And he got up out of there, and your man says he got up and he started and he cleaned his beak and he got rid of that old callus. He got rid of unbelief. He got rid of miracles are not for today. The gifts are on the shelf. He smashed it off his beak. And his nails weren't that great anymore. And his wings wasn't that great. But when he got the beak cleaned, he got the wings cleaned. The next thing, these wings fly. I can fly. And he jumped off that rock and he flew. And then he flew back at the rock and he smashed them old nails because they were no use anymore. They were all grew out and no good. So he broke them off. And God gave him new ones. They grew back strong. And then, do you know what? Before he knew it, he was soaring in the heavens again. He wasn't in the open ground anymore. He wasn't in the ground of disbelief, but he was back to being an overcomer. Because why was that? He was always an overcomer. Like Tommy says, that man hatched that eagle's egg out under a hen. You know, not how legally he was brought up with the hens, but he never could fit in with the hens. When the other eagles flew over and squawked one bad night, he heard a noise. He heard something, and he wanted out of that owl cage, and he flew up and he hit the cage, and he flew up and he hit the cage. And the owl farmer says, he took pity on him. He says, I had to let this boy out of here. And he let him out, and he heard a screech, and he put his wings out, and he was not a chicken, he was an eagle, for he took off into the sky, and he soared above the storm. And he left them chickens behind him. He didn't hang about with the chickens anymore. He didn't spend his time scraping, because what? He was always an eagle. And when you are born again, the devil might want to tell you you're a chicken or you're a turkey or you're ready to hook in the forest or you're bait, but you're an eagle. You are an eagle. You know, when that eagle's up flying in the sky, I think there's the old crow tries to attack him, doesn't he? Sometimes the old crow, I remember watching the buzzards and the crows and all, the next thing that have been flying in around him trying to attack him because he was flying in the sky and they tried to attack him. But you know that eagle? Do you know what he does? He just starts going higher and higher and higher. And do you know what? The old crow can't go there. The crow can't go there. Mr. Unbelief can't believe that God can heal, that God can deliver, and that you can still be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But the eagle, he believes it because he knows, because he's got something in him. There's a germ of life in him that'll soar him above the unbelief. And he knows when he bows his knee to pray that God can do it. That God is able to overcome because God has put something inside him that is greater than all the unbelief. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verses 26. Romans chapter 8 and verses 26. And we'll read, maybe read on down to verses 30 or 31 or something like that. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, there's something in you. Did you ever get into a real desperate situation and you pray? God has something in you. You might not even know what to pray, but you might start to pray in the Spirit. You might not fully understand what you've said, but I can tell you what, you'll feel refreshed because there's something in you. It says, he said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. God knows your weaknesses. We've all got weaknesses. We're only flesh and blood. But you know, there's something in you to help you overcome that, isn't there? It says, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, remember one time, I don't know why it's still in it, but it used to be in the Farming Life, there was always a wee scripture verse in it. And my dad, he had cut that out. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And I had that wee scripture and I put it in my wallet. And if you ever have a bad day or anything ever went wrong, you can always look or think upon these things. For we know that all things, it may not seem like it's going well. It may seem like everything has fell apart. But all things, you don't know why a certain situation happens. But God maybe wants you to have an experience so that you're like that eagle. You see, the eagles that never were in the open prairie never really had that experience. They couldn't fully grasp what that other eagle went through because they have never been there. They have never been where he has been. You see, you have had experiences maybe in your life that somebody else hasn't got. You've maybe been places, you've maybe been in places, and God has shaped you a certain way for the job that he wants you to do. And not everybody's the same, but God has got a purpose for every one of us. God has got a purpose for every single one of us. The devil wants to say, oh, sure, there's no purpose for you, but God has a purpose for you. You can connect with somebody that somebody else can't because you've been there. You have been there and you've got the experience and you know. But somebody that hasn't got the experience, they never can have the same empathy, can they? They never really can fully grasp it. But you know about that situation because they haven't been there. But it says, verses 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Is it not a wonderful thing? Doesn't matter what happens. If God is for you, who can be against you? Like the prophet of God, when they were going up into the battle, and the young man was afraid, wasn't he? But the prophet of God said, Lord, open his eyes a minute. And he looked, and there was angels everywhere. There was more with them than there was with the enemy. And you may feel, the devil wants you to feel like you're out on your own, but you're not. God's with you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you always. He says, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He will not abandon you. Do you ever see the saying? Like the boy says, if there's something needing done, the spy's soon clear. If you were on a job and you needed a lift or needed a hand with something, when there's nothing going on, the next thing there's a whole crowd. And then you say, here, boy, give me a hand. Oh, boy, I'm busy. I have to do this or that. The whole team disappears. God doesn't work like that. He's there all the time. He's there when you need help. He's there all the time. He's just not there for the easy time. He's there in the hard time. He's there all the time. When we pray, what should we pray? We need to pray that we need to forgive. And then he forgives us. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us every day. Give us our daily bread. He's there to help you every day. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, sometimes people want to hold a grudge. But we need to not hold grudges. We need to cast them down. Then I've wrote down here, when to pray. We're turning our Bibles back to Psalms. Psalms 55. Psalms 55. Psalms 55 and verses 16 and 17. When should we pray? As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, and at noontime will I pray, and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Isn't that wonderful? Evening and morning, and at noontime, it doesn't matter. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to say, I better make an appointment to pray this evening, or I have to make an appointment with God to meet with him. No. Doesn't matter where you are. You could be driving down the road in the car. You could be at your work. You could be anywhere. You can ask him anytime. You can speak to him anytime. And he's not working with Vodafone or O2 or any of them networks. There's never no signal loss. Call upon me in the time of trouble. Anytime his number is available. He is always available. David says, as for me, I will call upon God. The Lord shall save me. David had an experience, didn't he? David's friend, Saul, who he was friendly with, and brought him into his house. And you know, David had a gift, didn't he? When he played on the harp, it says that the Spirit of the Lord came down and took the evil spirit off Saul. It eased him. There was something from that music. There's something in music, isn't it nice sometimes when you just listen to piano playing or when you're singing hymns, how there's a nice atmosphere. Or if you just play the right type of music in your house, there's a nice atmosphere. There's something about it. The Spirit of the Lord can come. You know what it says in heaven that they're constantly praising and worshipping God. Constantly. Imagine all them thousands of angels. Do you remember the thing that Brother Brand talked about with they went to record the thing in the church one time, and it was playing, but there was no instruments, and there was some noise come on, and it was as if there was angels singing. It was like a glimpse into what heaven would be like. Constant worshipping God. He says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, at noontime. He also said, it doesn't matter where I go. If I ascend up into heaven, he's there. If I go down into hell, he's there. It doesn't matter where you are. How and when should we pray? Well, how we should pray. Jesus told us how we should pray. We should pray to God, our Father, which art in heaven. We don't have to come through any other man. We don't have to make a rigmarole out of it. You can pray directly to him. When to pray? Anytime. Evening, morning, noontime, anytime. We know that Daniel was a man of prayer, and it says he prayed 3 times. And you know there was boys got a wind of that. We'll put a stop to that. So they went into the king and made a decree. If anybody asks for anything that's not from you, he'll be thrown into the den of lions. Not right. So they went and listened out because they knew that Daniel would pray to God. Because he didn't believe in praying to the man. But he prayed to God. But you know, it didn't matter anyway because they got him captured. And the old king was sorry that he made the decree and he was cast into the den of lions. And the old king never slept all night. He tossed and he turned and he thought, why did I make that decree? But he got up in the morning and he came down and he said, Daniel, do you live? And he says, I'm well. It doesn't matter if you're in a den of lions. It doesn't matter like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, whether he will or whether he won't, we will serve him. And they were cast into the fiery furnace. You know, I love that message that Oral Roberts preached on at the fourth man. And he says that they were cast into that fiery furnace, and he said, faster than the speed of sound or light or anything like that, God put supernatural fireproof suits on them, and they couldn't burn. And he says, there's a key. If you don't bow, you can't burn. But if you do bow, you will burn. Because what happened when? What do you think happened then? In that situation, the old king said, did we not put three men into that fire? He says, oh yes, king, there was three put in. He says, I see four. And the fourth is like the Son of Man. God stepped into the situation. God wasn't away somewhere, you know. He was there. When you're in the situation, God doesn't abandon you. He's there. He stepped into the furnace. And then the king says, bring them out. See the men that put them in. Put them in the fire. And the boys actually originally tried to put them in. It was so hot, they get burnt in the process. But God protected them. You've got a protector. You've got one who's looking after you. When to pray. Morning, evening, at noontime, I will pray, the psalmist says. Ephesians. Turn their Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I hope I'm not wearing you with all these scriptures, but I've just wrote these down. You know, you can write them down and look over them yourself. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 17 and 18. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? The Word of God. There's power in it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How we should pray. We should pray for each other. We should be praying for each other. Do you know, not like I say, oh, look at that boy. No, don't have that attitude. If you see someone taking a fault, pray for him. Pray for him that God will help him. And pray that God will give you the ability to pray for other people. Pray that God will help you to do that. Not to be critical, but to pray. It says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, and it says, pray without ceasing. How we should pray, when we should pray. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Don't say, I've had a bad day. I don't think I'll pray anymore. No, that's what the devil wants. Pray the harder. Pray more. If you feel like you don't want to pray, make yourself do it. And you will feel better for it. Like I said before, have you ever felt that you're a bit down? And you know, you just say it, right, that's it. And you start to pray, and you know what you do? Lift your hands up and start praising God. You'll feel a difference. Lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. Hey? God will give you strength when you pray. Like I said, that eagle, when they started to eat that bit of meat, there's a bit of strength come back into them. But you see, the other eagles that decided not to take the wee bit of meat, they died in that place. They died in that looking place. They never got up back onto that rock again. Get up and eat. Don't lay down, but keep pressing on and keep praying. Pray without ceasing. Luke chapter 18 and verses 1 and 5, it says, pray and not faint. Pray and not faint. Don't stop. Keep praying. What to pray? We know that the Bible says in Psalms 122, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper, that love thee. And Jesus taught us to pray, as I've said before. And Colossians chapter 1 and verses 3, it says, we give thanks to God and the Lord, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So we always should be praying for each other that God will strengthen a brother. Another one says there, confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in the house of the Lord. And then we know in Luke chapter 18 how that the two men went up to pray. Luke chapter 18, I'm not going to read it because I've took enough time. Luke chapter 18 verses 10 down to 14. But I'll briefly just talk about it. You know, we know how that the two men went up to pray, didn't they? One of them was a Pharisee, or one of them was a publican. And one by he was a Pharisee. He done everything right. He kept all the laws. He didn't eat anything wrong. He washed his pots and pans the right road. He done everything right. He kept the law. He was a good boy, like Tommy says. He was goody two shoes. And he prayed, I thank God that I don't be like this boy over here. I don't do this wrong and I don't do that wrong. But the other boy got up to pray. And he hardly even lifted his head to heaven. But he prayed a proper prayer, didn't he? He prayed that the Lord would forgive him and that the Lord would do something for him. You can't come to God with your chest stuck out, as it were, but come in faith and reverence, and God will meet the situation. Let's stand on our feet before or after pastor to come tonight, and we'll just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, that you will encourage your people, Lord. Lord, I pray that something that I may have said will help someone tonight, Lord. Lord, I give you thanks, Lord, for these things that you have wrote down for our learning and admiration. Lord, we pray tonight that you'll watch over us, Lord, in the days that lie ahead. Help us, Lord, always to lift up your holy name. Help us, Lord, to pray continuously, Lord. And help us, Lord, to have faith. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be like that man that come to you and said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, help us, Lord, on every occasion to cast down our own thoughts, our own reasoning, our own unbelief. But Lord, give us faith, Lord, as a grain of mustard seed, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll keep your hand upon each and every one, Lord, each day that lies ahead, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray you'll bless us all. Keep your hand upon us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Praise the Lord, isn't that good? I'm going to ask the musicians to come and praise God, isn't God good? I tell you, when Sam mentioned about them eagles, I was listening the message in them eagles again this week, or last week, Bob and the eagles. You can't walk with turkeys and cluck with chickens and fly with eagles. And I tell you, it's some message. The first time I ever heard that message on the eagles, Yule had a purple polo car, and I wasn't married, and me and Yule was in Scotland. So that's a few years ago, but I'm married 30 years. And we preached for Ron Borthwick in Glasgow then. We drove the whole way up to Aberdeen to preach in Aberdeen, and we had great meetings up in Aberdeen. You remember that, Brother Yule? And it was Frank Hall that gave us the tape on the eagles. When Yule put the tape in the car and we played the tape up, and we had revival the whole way up to Aberdeen. We were excited, I'm telling you. It's a powerful, inspired message on the eagles. And then there's Bob preaches on the eagles. He's an American man, but there's another man wrote a little booklet on the eagles, and he's called Bill Britton, Brighton. And I found it last week in my study. I knew I had it. And he tells about the farmer stealing the eagle's egg. And the eagle knew it laid three eggs, not two eggs. And that eagle come looking for that missing egg. And that eagle was in the chicken coop, scraping about. The chickens were scraping about the eagle. He didn't fit in. And that eagle flew. It's purple. You know, I'll try and get it copied. Maybe Matthew will maybe try and get it copied out, like a magazine. Whoever wants can have one, because it's a great wee thing, you know, Bill Brighton, did it. But the Lord bless you. I'm not going to talk anymore. Talk away. But God bless you. Pray for, we'll be back Thursday night. We had a bit of a, we didn't get Thursday night past. A lot of people had different things happening and couldn't get. But we'll be here this Thursday night. And, you know, maybe the next time, no matter how many is coming on the Thursday night, we'll still come anyhow. Even if it's just two or three, but we'll still come anyhow. And we can pray and seek the Lord and everything. And I'd encourage you, and well, on Thursday night, those that like to follow the Bible, bring a notepad, even any of the services, follow along what's been said, and the Lord will bless you. And then next Sunday, we'll be having our two services again. Alan's going to be sharing his testimony next Sunday night, and I'm excited. Now, Alan doesn't know it, but you remember I told you about Alan a few weeks back. And Alan sent me a message a good while back that God had a real experience with the Lord. And then he was preaching on the streets and everything. And we just thank the Lord how he's changed Alan's life. And he's going to share his testimony next Sunday night. So come along and tell a friend. And the Lord bless you. Brother Mark's come. God bless you. God
bless you. Amen. We'll just sing up on 177 in the redemption song as Jesus was slain for me at Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he at Calvary. There he in anguish died. There from his open side poured forth the crimson tide at Calvary. Amen. Jesus was slain for me at Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he at Calvary. There from his open side poured forth a crimson tide at Calvary. Pardoned is all my sin at Calvary. Cleanses my heart within at Calvary. Now robes of praise I wear, gone are my grief and care.